Hey listeners, we've already sold 88 tickets to the current Wired Snowboard Raffle, and with Vans matching your contributions up to $2,000, that means we're already at $1,780 raised for Stoke.org, a nonprofit that gets underserved youth out skateboarding, snowboarding, and surfing, so that's feeling really good. Jamie Lynn has donated one of his original paintings, and he'll be mailing that out to the lucky winner from his Canadian hideaway. We've also got a prize pack coming this week from Crow's Nest Barbershop, more about that in the future, and I've got a tribute hoodie that's already showed up at my house. Looks fucking awesome. Tickets are $10. You can send an e-transfer or PayPal payment to fnradpodcast@hotmail.com. Thanks for your support, guys. This week on The Plug, we've got Russell Winfield interviewing Keir Dillon. I actually did an interview with him over the past winter, but it was on that same memory card that screwed up the Jason Ford interview, so I didn't get any of it. It was devastating because it was such a good conversation. So Keir and I have agreed to get another episode of the show in the future. That's going to happen for sure. For now, I'd like to just recognize how overwhelming it can be with everything that's going on in the world, and these conversations are pretty heavy. But I think it's important for us to listen right now. So let's try and listen with an open heart. Together we can actually do something positive. All right, here's The Plug with Russell Winfield and this week's guest, Keir Dillon.
Hello, this is Russell Winfield, and welcome to episode 3 of The Plug. This week, I'm going to be speaking with Keir Dillon, and if you don't know, I'm about to tell you, this boy was a monster in the contest scene. Absolute monster. We're going to talk about his growing up, his life at snowboarding, and after snowboarding, and some of the stuff that he's found out about himself throughout the years. So I hope you enjoy it, maybe learn something, and hopefully you get a little chuckle. All right.
There we go.
How you been, Keir?
Not too bad. I was just watching you. I was like, let me pull up some old videos.
Oh, yeah. You know.
I love it. I'm like, man, how's he in such good shape? What's he doing?
I'm not doing anything. I just work.
Whatever you're doing, it's working. I watched your Uncle Russ episode on the.
Oh, nice.
You're doing the board. It was just so inspiring. I was like, man, I really got to do this. And just much respect, my man.
Thank you. This is what we do, Keir. We've been inspirational to a small group of black kids. Mm-hmm. But if you're in your whole life inspirational and save one human,
totally,
you've won.
Yeah.
And honestly, man, to my fault, I didn't really understand it until very, very, very recently, mm-hmm. what it meant to be a role model. Like, I was always on the punk rock side, you know, that was my wall. That was how nothing could get in, you know, so I couldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
But thank goodness it resonated with some people.
Yeah.
You know, it made them want to get on the hill, or made them want to do whatever. Oh, I got my camera.
Yeah.
What's going on, brother?
What up?
You in the office, huh?
Yeah. Got the websites behind me trying to figure it out.
What are you doing? You still doing the Friends thing, or are you doing something new now?
No, I imploded that, and then imploded my life. And then that's hooked up with some guys in the cannabis space, so the hemp CBD space.
Oh, sweet. Good for you.
Yeah. So trying to help them figure it out. It's cool. It's like day one.
Yeah, reefer's a good business.
Yeah.
Well, you can still get in.
Yeah.
No, because once R.J. Reynolds and them and Jim Beam and all them decide they want in.
Yeah. But hey, I think it's like anything though, right? I think if you want in, you squeeze in. Even like craft beers and all that sort of stuff, right? It's micro beers. It's your perspective.
Yeah.
But it's been good. This is on the hemp side too, so it's. For me, I was on tons of meds for anxiety and stuff, and you know, and CBD before this company even, you know, helped a ton. So
perfect.
You know, it's good on that. Good on that.
That is good, man. Good for you.
Yeah, man. What you been up to?
Selling cars.
Oh yeah?
Selling luxury vehicles, yeah, man.
Right on.
It's a good space.
And you changed things up with all the COVID stuff or?
The shop I'm at, we have a mechanic, so we were deemed essential.
Okay. You're like, get in here.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Yeah, it was good, man. So I don't know about you, man, but I'm more of a, you know, MLK Jr. kind of activist than a Malcolm X activist. I'm not trying to hit you in the mouth about some shit that you've done and you might not even have known you've done. I'm trying to, you know, peacefully move this shit forward and make it better. Yeah. You know, my mama once told me you get more, you know, more bees with honey than you do vinegar. And so that's kind of an adage that I like to try to base my life off of.
Yeah, yeah. No, amen to that.
You grew up in, I would imagine, a predominantly white area, right? Did you grow up in Pennsylvania or something? In the Poconos?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, brother. Mm. How did you feel about yourself? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, it's in all of this, right? It's interesting reflection of just self in general. You know, growing up, you know, I call it middle class Pennsylvania, California broke. But it was an all white town. You know, there's I think one other, maybe at least in elementary, like one other, you know, black kid, maybe an Asian kid or something. But it was pretty much all white. And then my brother, who's 3 years older, you know, he had like full skinheads, death threats. Then the skinhead killed someone, went to jail for life. Like, just like a lot more of, I mean, just watching what he dealt with was gnarly, heavy. I feel like by the time I started getting into high school, it was starting to diversify a little bit, being so close to New York City. But for me, it was, it wasn't crazy heavy. You know, like my dad would always share stories, you know, he was a Vietnam vet and just,
thank you, Mr. Dillon, for your service. Appreciate you.
Amen. But, you know, that messed him up, right? Like, it was, you know, late in life, he talked a little bit about it, but, you know, that toll even, you know, he'd share stories of like, you know, being in bunkers with people and then going home and being like, no, I don't even know you, you know, like, kind of like, what? Like, so a lot of it was, you know, him just educating me on it. I felt lucky to get sucked into snowboarding. And then that just became my lens of just, that's all I cared about, right? And we were outcasts as it was, as a collective group, where I don't know, I didn't really trip on it. I think there's a lot of, I think, programming in general, just, you know, that's the human experience. And I think, you know, a lot of that programming from being that, from that town, you know, I have like stories that they don't fit me in the butt later of like being more programmed towards white. You know, and it's in having that thrown in my face and the wake up call to that. So I have a lot of empathy for, you know, for a lot of people trying to dig in and educate themselves and really understand something that's really hard to understand. I mean, even me, I'm half black, right? There's parts where I for sure feel it, but the majority of the past of my life is, it hasn't, like the things I see, even I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, for sure. Like you, I grew up in a super wealthy neighborhood in New York. Like, you know, like the Bush family is from my hometown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And not to be super cliche, but my parents owned a dry cleaning stores, man. It was on some real the Jefferson shit.
Yeah.
And we were like the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt, you know, like, And it was like a compound of not having the money and not, I always felt a little different, man, you know? Mm-hmm. All the sports I played were, you know, I didn't play basketball, I played ice hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And because of skateboarding, I found snowboarding.
Yep.
And like you said, man, I feel that, like, snowboarding felt good to me. Because everybody was an outcast. I might have been a little bit more of an outcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least they were outcasts too. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it felt a little better. The industry, I don't know, man. I don't know. This year, 2020, you know, supposed to be, you know, if you just think about the number, that's like perfect vision.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And what's really happening now, like, we've gone through so much in 5 months that I just don't know. It's crazy. How are you holding up with this whole, you know, everybody trying to call you, and how you feel about that?
No, I'm like, how do you say, I was talking to Trevor Andrew 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we like kind of like your crew, right? Like we did a decade together every single day.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking and I was just like, you know, it's hard for me and it's not hard for me, but it's interesting for me because, like I said, a lot of my life was just rolling with seven homies and just traveling, right? And just exploring the world in ways that are just unimaginable. So it just, you know, I just, to say things is kind of like weird to me because I don't feel like, you know, the struggles of my life, I caused. They weren't caused really because of my skin. So it's, you know, he's like, but dude, you're a black man. You know, and it's like interesting to his take on it. And, you know, I think there's lots of things of, you know, sitting in the airport and someone moves their purse away from you. And it's like, you know, blatantly, it's just because of intimidation, right? And it's, and I've never even been in like a fight. I'm like the least intimidating human on earth in my mind. But just the subtleties, right? The programming.
Yeah.
But so I think it's, you know, it's, there is that mix of it. You know, this one story that always stands out in my brain is I was coming home in New York City late one night, like super late, kind of messed up. And I was walking down the street and there's a guy walking towards me and I started to cross the street and he started crossing with me. And he just comes up to me and just right in my face, he's like, you better, you know, he's like, I can't believe you just did that to me. You better go home and look at yourself in the mirror. Like he was pissed, like super pissed. And he was right. You know, like that's what I talk about the programming. Like,
so you were getting reverse programmed.
Yeah.
You were being taught to hate your own. Really?
Totally. You know, and I was like, and he had the right to do that. And it was just like, for me, it was just like, I was just shook on so many levels. Cause yeah, I was like, dude, if you're a white guy walking towards me, I wouldn't have done that. And it was, you know, and it's like, fuck, like, holy cow. So that's what I mean. Like, for me, like what you said, like, there's, I want to, you know, for me, it's, you know, wanting to inspire, you know, it's, you know, kind of like me looking up to you, you know, snowboarding and just like, when I kind of then took a turn to do a bunch of other stuff and then the kind of looking back into it and seeing all these other shredders that have come up and connecting with them. And just like there is, whether it's you've dealt with a lot or not because of the color of your skin, there's still nuances in there and there's familiarity in there. There's just the bond in there as a snowboarder in general, right? Or a shredder in general. So it's been cool just to reopen those conversations and pay respects and kind of champion other people that have, you know, expressed themselves through what we are blessed to do.
Yeah. To go back a couple minutes to where you said you did all the bad and you were the reason for your anything that happened wrong and it wasn't the color of your skin. Well, I'm about 50% with you on that, brother. I fucked up a lot. Like, you know, like a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of the shit, the reasons I didn't get what some of my, you know, the homies got wasn't because I fucked up, you know, it's just, and it's nobody's fault. It's just, that's just the way it's been, I believe, you know, I think that's something that hopefully moving forward, everybody gets equal. Just let everybody get the same, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let your skill level or your popularity or whatever it is be the scale, be the measure.
Mm-hmm.
Not the color of your skin or your gender or who you like to wake up next to or anything like that, man. And this this is way bigger than snowboarding. I'm speaking just
sure.
Human in life. I think that would be huge.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
And I mean, you've been bubbled. So you've been really lucky. I've been bubbled and then I've been out of the bubble and then I've been bubbled. Do you have any suggestions about, you know, solutions moving forward? Like one of your, you know, your friends asks you, cause I know you're getting this call, like, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what, and I'm going to let you answer that because I have my thoughts on that. But
yeah, I mean, I for sure don't have any solutions. I think, you know, some of my thoughts or things that I appreciate or that I've seen that I appreciate is just, you know, being self-aware, you know, like even just like I said, like the reflection of the, you know, that situation in New York City and just like owning it, you know, understanding that there's so many levels, right, to like where you grew up, how you grew up, your friends. I think just that, I mean, the solution, like in anything, right, is just love and empathy.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and like you, what you said, like I was in a serious bubble and then I exploded my bubble. And then, you know, like, and I appreciate that explosion because it pushed me into corners of life that I would have never seen. I think that's part of the uncomfortable aspects of this, is it's allowing people to take the journey if they want. And I think for me, it's exciting just to see people doing it, right? Like that's the most inspiring thing. And then being able to do it in a way that seems now is able to be more sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, and I'll watch a ton of videos of, you know, this is how it was 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, right? And so like, I appreciate the platforms that are allowing it to be done and to be shared in this manner. I was also reflecting earlier just of like, we used to talk, you know, as I think a collective, talk trash on the youth of today. And it's cool just to see how they're handling things and opening it up. So yeah, I don't really have, I think advice is more just love and seek to understand. And for me, it's reflective of all the new, like, you know, the current black snowboarders and the ones even just over the past decade, like it's just been rad to dig in.
And
like, yeah, man, like celebrate.
Absolutely. And I'm not by any means trying to discount the steps that we as a black community and the white community have made in the past 100 years, because you'd be an idiot not to see where it was and where it is.
Yeah.
And it is 100 times better. But I think in the past even 4 years, it feels to me that it's going backwards. And it's okay to be a racist, and it's okay to fly a Nazi flag, and like, I don't know, man. Like that shit isn't okay. Like that's just not, flat out fucking not okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not. There's no okay in anything about that. And it bums me out. And I think that the kids, the youth today, just is like, hold on. Like this white and black, most kids are like, yeah, no, this isn't cool.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously there's kids that are racists, you know, that's obvious. But I think most kids these days are doing a great job of trying to like stamp that shit out.
Well, I think also just standing there for your homies, like in either situation, right? I mean, that's how it was for me, right? It's just you're a byproduct of who you get to experience life with and then see it through their eyes and have empathy. And like, so it's, I think that, like you said, what you said of, it's more prominent in some regards because of the accessibility, but then also the standing up factor of just what feels right is also easier.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so to the question that you asked me, I mean, so what do you think? What advice do you have? Or
it's, for me, it's like this, man. If you are genuinely a good person, you are born with an innate sense of what is right and wrong.
Yeah, totally.
Now that doesn't mean you're gonna always do right. But what it does mean is that you know when you're doing wrong.
Yeah,
so with that being said, fucking do right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know when you're fucking somebody over. You know when you're doing something that's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it.
Totally.
And if you don't, well, then you're just not a good person. And that's, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But
mm-hmm.
You know, just do what's, and that's like, and it's like, that's the whole Spike Lee movie, do the right thing. It's so cliche, but you know, that's part of Spike Lee's genius, to me, is that the cliches are Sometimes they're real right.
They're spot on.
They're spot on. You know, sometimes a smack in the face is purely just a smack in the face. You know, so I just, you know, it's, I'm so distraught by this whole situation. But at the same time, you know, it's like people are like, they ask me, how you feeling, Russell? I'm feeling the same that I do every day. This isn't new. This is not new for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not glad that you guys are finally seeing it, but I'm glad that you guys, you know, now let me rephrase that. I'm not glad that you guys are sort of having to go or understanding what we go through, but I'm glad that you guys now are understanding what we have to go through.
Yeah.
And this isn't new.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
For me, this has been going on since, you know, 1972, the day I was born. You know, do you have any fears of the outcome of what's going on right now? The backlash, I guess you could say.
I don't. I mean, I guess the only that fear, but it, you know, watching a lot of the videos and all like the footage and stuff, it's definitely been eye opening at a level of like, to me, there's a difference between racism, like just kind of, you know, call it elementary, and then, you know, people getting beat to death or just like, you know, that level. And again, the bubble aspect of it, just, you know, there's a level, it's like for even my kids, right? I got two kids, where you're just like, oh, wow. Right. It's just, it's opening, right. It's eye opening. Like I said, it's the level of the scale that you interact with. But no, I mean, I through snowboarding of the, like, I guess metaphorically speaking, getting beat up and meeting like just the life lessons there of like falling, getting up, you know, my life getting sideways, falling, getting up. I think that there's only through the pain can real growth happen. So there's nothing that really I fear coming forward. I like I said, I hope that it's able to, we're able to sit in the pain a little longer just so that there actually can be some transcendent, you know, transformational growth, not just cool hashtag done.
BLM matters.
Yeah. You know,
cool, man. Yeah. I mean,
what about you?
Well, as far as fears,
yeah,
I don't know if they're fears as much as concerns. And back to, you know, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. Like that dummy who was like a, you know, third string NASCAR truck driver. So, you know, like there's a lot of those people out there. And more so the police, like what's going to happen with all these racist police that either quit, like didn't a huge percentage of some police department just quit? Like, what's going to happen with all these dudes that are armed and angry and racist? You know, that's my only concern. And what are we going to do as a country about that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. Because even all the camera footage you're watching, it's like they know there's a camera on there. There's just the level of like whatever the society's got my back. Not society, but like.
My skin's got my back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My skin color has got my back.
Even with the camera on you, right?
They couldn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude's out on bail. Obviously, you know, somebody bailed his ass out, or a group of people. So that's just, I don't know. It's sketchy. And you said something real important, which was you're not changing or evolving without pain. You know, growth, pain is a catalyst for growth.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter, who's also mixed, wrote this post. She'll be 20 here in a week or two,
wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. She's really intelligent. She goes, you know, university down in Southern California. She's on her way to being a doctor, blah, 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 all that. And, she wrote this post, and she had me in full blown tears. Like,
wow.
It was just about how she, as I'm sure you did, didn't really know how to identify herself and has been like at odds with everything. And now she just realized she's Black. Like, they see her, they see Black. And her biggest fear is that, you know, one of these Black men that dies could be me. You know?
Yep.
And that really messed me up.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in my life, I go to work and I pretty much go home. I stay out of the way just because I'm too old for that shit. You know, there's other ways for me to be involved, like what we're doing right now and stuff like that. That's, you know, then I'm just too old to be out there in them screets, Cure. You know?
Well, you also got the next generation, right? Like, you know,
yeah,
speaking about your daughter and what she said, actually, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, because I'd say that was kind of like maybe the most eye-opening thing is like seeing the basis behind the hate and really kind of capturing, like she said, of like it 100% skin, and because of the bubble I've been in, and then going like, damn, I don't see myself that way, just as, you know, you don't see yourself that way, but it's like, wow, people do see us that way or see me that way. And it was like what she said. I was like, holy shit. Like, it was, I share with her expression of that.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are Black. That's just it. Like, they put you, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is, man. Yeah. But before you're Black, you're human.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Eric's human. And we're all fucking human. And that's a race. It's not, you know, it's not the white race or the Black race,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
or the yeah, foot race or the bike race or the car race.
Yeah.
It's the human race.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to realize.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Need to get more people out in the slopes. That is the equalizer.
Yeah. I think we just need to, I think it's education and staying out of them screets,
yeah,
because them screets ain't got nothing for you.
Yeah.
If you're not educated, you're gonna get in trouble.
Yeah. But even, you know, I think even if you're educated, there's a level. Like I said, I don't know. I'm a big just believer in the programming, you know, good and bad, and which is like what you're saying, staying out of the scenarios to be programmed. I guess I just looked at the joy of the equalizer of sport. You know, and snowboarding, and yeah, there's elements of it, but just, I don't know, I just think of days filming with Trev, or just, you know, it does melt away a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely. You know? That, you know, the sports or the arena of sport is,
yeah,
an equalizer.
Yeah.
The arena of business and sport is not.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
So, and the good thing about that is that lets you know, that we still need, we still need to work.
Yeah.
I'm more than grateful for what I've been allowed to achieve in my life, and to everybody who's, you know, allowed me to do it.
Yeah. And the gut and willpower that you did it, right? I mean,
yeah. I clawed and fought for it.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, everybody else.
Yeah.
And I have my shortcomings, and I've had my shortcomings, and so is everybody else. And if everybody just recognizes their shortcomings and works on them and fixes them, we'll all be good.
Yeah, totally.
I think we're good, man. I think we got it.
Amen.
Well, Kira, it was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, man.
And keep your head on a swivel, because they're still looking.
Amen. Yeah. All day, every day.
I love you, brother.
Yeah, man. Love you too, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, one.
All right. Peace.